In the funny pages this week, we have Providence number 8.
Black Panther number 1.
Swamp Thing number 4.
The Dark Side War special number 1.
And in the super secret Star Wars special section, we have Poe Dameron number 1.
Oh, he's supposed to go somewhere.
Yeah. Welcome to the
show. You're setting it up. My bad. I'm
sorry. Welcome to the show. I'm Ambrose.
I'm Zach.
Joining me via a certain social media site's webcam service is Zach. I can see in his bedroom he has a sweet Kingdom Hearts 2.5 poster.
Got a nice BioShock Infinite one too.
Oh yeah, that's sweet.
Lord of the Rings.
Boo.
Oh, screw you.
Okay, shall we get started?
All right, you want to go first?
Sure. Okay, Providence number 8 by Alan Moore and Jason Burroughs. I think I really like Jason Burroughs' artwork. I just can never tell. And I know that is not a very conclusive statement, but he does capture creepy really well just because his drawings are always there. It's not realism and it's not cartoony. And it's not really someplace in between, but it's just, I don't know. It's hard to explain. You kind of just have to know what his artwork looks like to be able to describe it. I happen to get the Pantheon cover, which looks like this. It's like a guy. Did you get that one?
Yes.
Okay. It's a bust of a guy, and he has like wings coming out of his head. It's pretty cool. I don't really remember what happened in the last issue at all. In this issue, it starts off with like an alien ship coming down, which is this book is set in the early 1900s, so it's kind of playing on that science fiction that was developing at that point. The main character, forget his first name. His last name is Black. Forgot his first name. Oh well. Anyways, he's talking to this author that he's been trying to track down for a long time, and they start talking about H.P. Lovecraft, which is the first mention of him. And this whole, as far as what I understood about this book, this whole thing was supposed to be
Lovecraftian.
Yeah, Lovecraftian, which I know nothing about. I don't know if you have any experience with it.
I've seen a lot of stuff that has been inspired by his work, like Cthulhu.
Yeah.
I know that. I haven't actually read his works or anything. So.
Yeah. As far as I know, it's just really good early 20th century horror science fiction. Which is what Providence is. So, so these first couple pages, they're just chatting it up, and it keeps flashing to these other scenes. And I love this because it's almost like, I don't know who came up with it, if it was Jason Burroughs or Alan Moore, but I very much am sometimes guilty of passing over artwork. I'll just read the word balloons and not see what's in the panel at all. So in this sequence, they have the dialogue continues between Mr. Black and this other author, and it continues as they change scenes to, like, the first scene is just like an old man watching a boy run after a rabbit in like a farmhouse. But the conversation continues, but the word bubbles go into those characters that are on these new whatever they are. I'm not even sure what they are. And I thought that was really cool because, like, I was sort of paying attention. I was like, oh, you know, the scene keeps changing away from the two. in the guy's living room or whatever, they're having tea and talking, it keeps changing to all these, not really strange images, but almost like everyday images, and their conversation continues. That happens for a while, goes to kind of different time periods, and then, gosh, I really need, we said we would do better next time, and I'm failing at names. This author he's talking to. Oh, I thought it was funny, just to backtrack a bit, they mentioned the King in Yellow, which is actually True Detective Season 1, and I'm actually listening to the audiobook of the King in Yellow right now, and it's pretty cool. Let me see if I can find this guy's name real quick. Oh, it was really funny on like the second page. The author that the main character's talking to, he's trying to recall what H.P. Lovecraft's name is, and he's like, the author had an unusual name, I recall. Was it Lovelady? And then the Mr. Black was just like, no, it's Craft, H.P. Lovecraft. And I almost sent that panel to our friend Patrick because he would really appreciate that because he's a huge Lovecraft fan. But anyway, let me get back to... So he's talking to this author. This author tells him one of his inspirations is he does this meditation where it's called like the 700 steps. And it's kind of like going... He's accessing his subconscious in a dream world by visualizing it descending these 700 steps. And as they're descending, you kind of see, like, I know the last issue there was this kind of demon-looking guy, and you see him. There's not too much callback except for that. They eventually get to the bottom, and it's just kind of like this weird dream world that's... You can very much compare it to Inception, except it's more meditative than anything. Eventually they're in a forest looking at the moon, and all these cats start coming around them, and then the cats start to form a tower, and they're just raising these two guys up and into like towards the moon. And then eventually these like faceless cat bat creatures pick them up and start flying away, and they accidentally drop them, and then that's when they wake up.
Those guys were on one of the covers.
Oh, really?
Like,
oh, cool.
Few issues, because I have them on one of my covers.
Oh, cool. Yeah, and then so they, after their conversation, they actually go to a reading from an author. I guess that was, I mean, people still do that, but that was really big back then, because like, if you liked the author and everything, and you could hear them read their own work. And it turns out H.P. Lovecraft is in the audience. And, his name is Robert Black. It just came to me. Robert, after the reading, kind of just strikes up a little conversation with H.P. Lovecraft, which even, you know, as not being a very big fan as I am, I thought that was really cool just because it's, you know, this real guy that he's talking to and everything. While they're having the conversation, it does another one of those cuts to a bunch of different places in the panels. The last page ends kind of cool because it's like, it changes to typewriter font, and it sounds like, it sounds more like somebody's writing it not for comic book or not for dialogue, but just writing it down as if it was being read. So yeah, that's really the end of the issue. Not a lot happens. I mean, actually, I think a lot happens, but this is what Providence is. It's not really... Yeah.
It's more of the subtlety of the dialogue and the imagery, rather than... Here's a straightforward plot and all that.
Yeah, and the writing, I mean, it's Alan Moore, so you don't need to defend it or anything. It's just, it's poetry. And it's just people talking to each other. And It's crazy. Now, I haven't been reading the journal entries in the back. I did read them in the first couple of issues, and it's actually better, not to diminish the rest of the book, but it's actually better than like the actual story in the book. There's a lot of it in each issue, and I'll read them eventually when I go back and reread some of this. I'll probably just go back and reread the journal entries, but yeah, I didn't read it for this issue. So yeah, there's Providence number 8.
I gotta get caught up on it.
Yeah, honestly, it really fits the format of having to wait a long time to read it, because I've kind of feel bad for you that you'll have to read like multiple issues at once. Wowee. But yeah, anyway, your turn.
All right. So, Black Panther number 1.
Oh, I'm excited.
I didn't really know where they left off or where the current Marvel Universe has decided to put him in it. So it was kind of, I was going in blind, essentially. Yeah. I just knew the character, and I've been wanting to get every single one of the, not every single one, but a lot of the characters that I like, their issue or their series, at least number 1 with this new stuff. So it starts with him. Apparently he's the king again.
Okay.
Like it says, it's very little description. Like he recently spent some time away from the throne. His sister was ruling as the queen for a while.
Yeah, I
knew
about
that.
But
then now he's back.
She was queen during the one of my favorite Daredevil stories, the original Sin crossover. And he ends up going to Wakanda to rescue his mom, but yeah.
Well, was Thanos in original Sin?
He was. I don't know what his purpose in it was, but I'm sure he was. I remember it was either the Nova crossover or something where the original Sin.
It would make sense because in this description it says his sister Shuri had been ruling as both queen and Black Panther in his absence, but she died defending Wakanda against Thanos' army. So, like, probably she died in Original Sin or something.
I don't remember that, but it could be. It's possible.
Some point. Yeah. So it goes into a monologue of him going through his past events of, like, his father just saying, you no longer have people, you are no longer my son. Basically saying, one dialogue point is, I am the orphan king who defied the blood, who defied his country, and was divided from you. So he's probably feeling pretty distant, you know, an outcast by his people because of his absence, I guess you could say. And there's a panel of essentially a riot that's going on.
Is there any possibility that you can move your camera so I can see?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to see some of the art too?
Yeah, I'm really curious about this artwork because I don't know this guy's artwork, but he's supposed to be really good.
I like it. It's pretty cool. The faces really work with this kind of stuff, I guess. So it goes into more of this fighting, absence, and see, I liked this panel right here.
Yeah,
you can see that is.
Oh, that's awesome!
His helmet like forms, not just like it, or his mask. It's not just like putting on a cloth.
Yeah,
it's actually forming. So like the vibranium, like
that's amazing.
Yeah, that's a really cool idea.
Yeah,
I did that. So more fighting. They're saying death to. Apparently they feel like Black Panther is just not their king.
Okay.
So I really liked that going on through it. And he has some kind of scepter. I don't know if you can see it really well on my camera. But he has some kind of, it's the king's magic scepter. I know Wakanda has a lot of magic too, doesn't it?
I don't think so. I think it's all science.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They're big scientists there.
This is a really cool panel, you know, that's, like the start of the series.
That's awesome. I want a poster of that.
Those are the four shots, and it's his mother was actually the queen for the time that his sister died. So more dialogue going on. Pretty much, you know, the city is in turmoil. And, you know, a lot of rebellion is going on, I guess you could say. A lot of riots. And more stuff going on. I don't remember reading this. It's very dialogue heavy. Okay. So it's very...
They're
just doing a summarization of it.
Is he setting up a lot?
Yes. Because, mm-hmm. Well, he's trying to get his kingdom back, from what I can tell. And there's a civil war, I'm assuming, going on. So he's just trying to... find the balance of being Black Panther, an Avenger, and this king. So I think that's going to be more or less the plot premises of this whole series that's going to go on. So more stuff, and then there's this also this character. She may or may not be like the overall villain of this arc, because there's more dialogue of it going like. The people need to fight back for their rights, essentially. You know, they think that Black Panther is a tyrant.
Uh-huh.
So, like, this shot right here, it's just very reminiscent of, you know, like a Adolf Hitler kind of thing, where it's just a bunch of people grouped together for the speaker and all this stuff. More stuff goes on. And I believe this is his sister, so apparently she is alive. See, I don't remember. I think you'd have to understand truly what's going on or what had happened beforehand to really get the whole premise of it.
That's one thing I don't...
See, this final thing here shows that. Like, I think that's his sister in the Black Panther suit, and he doesn't know that she's alive, but then I think that confirms that now he knows that she's alive. Yeah.
That's one thing I don't like about these, like, reboot issue one series, is they assume that everybody reading it knows what's happened in the character in the past 20 years. And,
exactly.
Like, it's just, I mean, again, I know I said this about, like, Scott Snyder last week. It's like, just put a little box there. And take one.
Go to this issue to know what's going on in this series. Yeah.
Do that, or do one sentence to explain like just anything. Just so, like, one of Stan Lee's golden rules was every comic book is somebody's first comic book.
Yeah,
and that has been lost for a long time. I really think they should bring that back. The Star Wars books do a pretty good job of that because. They have the crawl at first, and so you can pretty much get the gist of every Star Wars book, no matter which one you pick up.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
So yeah, so first issue, pretty good so far. Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to keep with it, but I might get the second issue and see where it goes and go from there.
I'm definitely going to read it at some point. I just don't know if I'm going to actually buy it.
Yeah.
All right, my turn?
Yeah.
Okay, we have Swamp Thing number 4, which I don't know if I mentioned to you this before. This was supposed to be a 6-issue limited series, but the only issue that said of 6 was the first one. The rest of them just have the number. So this just says 4, which I think would be awesome if they kept it going because it's Swamp Thing. Let me move my camera real quick. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Is it upside down?
No.
Okay. So... This iteration of Swamp Thing is written by the co-creator of Swamp Thing, Len Wein. who, if you don't know him, he created Wolverine. And is drawn by Kelly Jones, which I don't know anything about Kelly Jones, but the style is very much like a 70s style. And so is the writing. Uh-huh. The writing and every bit about this book is very much 70s. And it's great. The only thing, the only complaint I would have is like Swamp Thing's dialogue is very out of character because what he sounds like to me is what Alan Moore did. And Len Wein was obviously the guy before him, so it was more just what all comic book characters sounded at the time.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't, it's okay, but I prefer it to be more of what I consider a traditional Swamp Thing. But anyways, so last issue we met up with Zatanna. I forgot exactly what happened, and it says in here because they did a good job of bringing you up to speed. But essentially, Swamp Thing, I don't know if you know the character Matt Cable, but they were Abby Cable, who later becomes Abigail. She's Swamp Thing's girl. It was her fiance. I'm not sure if they were married, but he ends up getting into a coma or something, and then her and Swamp Thing fall in love and everything. But anyways, he comes back. I'm sure he came back before, but he's back, and through some magic, Matt Cable was like, "Hey, Alec, I will do you a solid, and I will take your powers away from you because you don't want to be Swamp Thing anymore because you're alone and miserable. Excuse me. And I'll take them away from you because I want them." And Alec's like, "Okay, are you sure? Because that's a lot of, you know, that's pretty crazy." So he ends up, they end up, Alec is human again, and Matt Cable is Swamp Thing. And he's like, "I wanted it to be this way. This is what I want." And so you kind of just, this page right here, Alec doesn't have a shirt, and Zatanna was just wearing a robe. And she's like, "Here, you need some clothes," and just takes off her robe and gives it to him. Matt, there's kind of like a training montage. Get a little bit of a better angle here. It's kind of a montage. Yeah. Where Alec is basically teaching Matt how to do all the tricks and stuff of being Swamp Thing. And then eventually they come across a hunter, and Matt ends up killing the hunter. And Alec's like, "You can't do that. Like, that's not what we do." Oh, I want to make special point of this panel right here. Can you see it?
Yeah.
It is Matt Cable, Swamp Thing, pulling a dude apart. His guts are flying everywhere. It's awesome. So Alec's really upset, and he's like, "You cannot do that again. That's not what being Swamp Thing's about." And Matt's like, "What are you gonna do? Because I have all this power now, and you don't have any power." And then, let's see. Okay, and then Matt reveals, because Alec is like, "You don't know what you're doing," and Matt's like, "I know precisely what I'm doing. I've known from the moment this farce began." So it's revealed that Matt Cable was, this was more nefarious than we thought. And I don't know if you saw the ad this week for Future Quest.
Yeah.
Okay. That looks really cool.
Isn't there a Doom Patrol series? Because I was going to say that about you.
I haven't seen anything about a Doom Patrol series, but that sounds interesting.
I was in that ad. I can't remember where I saw it.
Then we have Alec and Matt walking through town. Everybody's like, "Oh gosh, this is Swamp Thing." And then Matt starts getting like, starts going crazy, starts overgrowing stuff. There's kind of a Vietnam vet that comes out, and he has a grenade, and he throws the grenade at him and it explodes, and he's like, I can grow back, ha ha ha. And then here, there's some cool panels for you to see. He starts killing more people, and Alec is just like, what? Stop that. And kind of a new addition. I don't know if this... I feel like this is something that's going to last a while because it's really cool. Matt builds the Throne of Thorns. You can see it here. And it's the seat because Swamp Thing has such godlike powers that somebody who's power hungry, as we found out that Matt Cable is, creates a throne for him to sit from to control the world. And it's the Throne of Thorns, and I thought that was really cool. He's kind of sitting up there, and...
I really like that panel. This one? The one where it's just his face.
Yeah, that's really cool.
That looks really cool.
And that's really where the issue ends. It's it's really cool here. Alec gets sucked into the ground.
Oh snap!
I thought that was really cool. It just with the tension that was going through the whole issue, that really paid off. And then there's a camera crew in front of Matt Cable Swamp Thing, and that's where the issue ends. So this is probably the most exciting issue so far. The rest of them have been great, but they've been kind of one-off stories.
Yeah.
And this has been the most exciting, and kind of like almost, I guess Matt Cable is deep cuts Swamp Thing lore, but it was great. I really hope it just keeps going, and Lynn Wine. This is actually the first of hit Swamp Thing stuff I've ever read, which might be kind of bad, but as the co-creator, he's rocking it. So your turn.
That's pretty interesting stuff. I just don't know a lot about Swamp Thing myself to really go, oh yeah, that Swamp Thing or anything like that, but it seems really cool.
Yeah,
I know he's one of your favorites. Alright, so my turn. We're going to do the Dark Side Wars Special Number 1, which the regular cover has Grail, which is Dark Side Zotter on it. I got the cool Neil Adams variant. It says Wonder Woman whipping. He says, they whipped Superman, now let them try me. It was like, oh, okay. So, like, in the context of what's really going on with Darkseid War, I don't want to spoil it for you, because a lot of stuff has been going on. It's already, like, what, I think 10 issues?
Wow.
Or 9 or 10. Well, it's supposed to be, like, I think it's supposed to end at issue 50, the Darkseid War, and then it's, like, been, like, 4... maybe 5 or 6 of these kind of one-shots. Because, like, at some point, every one of them had become, like, a god. So, like, I remember talking about it with you at one point, like, Flash became Death.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was called, but...
Death, like, the Black Racer.
Okay, so, like, everyone had, like, a special power at one point. So this is more going into Grail, Darkseid's daughter, and kind of her motivation and all this stuff, and like really in this panel, but also in the context of what's going on as well. I can't remember her name, but she's the female Green Lantern. Bad picture to show to you. That's in the story. I don't remember her name. She has not really been that huge of a story factor, but for this, she has been. Because she has, I think she has Earth 2's power ring.
Okay.
Where she, he's actually like fighting fear of this dark, this ring. So like the ring is trying to kill her from the inside, essentially.
Oh, I know her. Yeah.
I don't know if it's Earth 2's ring or anything, but I just know she's like, she's not, you know, Hal Jordan Green Lantern, so she's more or less just another Green Lantern, I guess.
I can't remember what she's from, but I know who you're talking about.
She's been in Justice League for a few issues, because like at one point, how Green Lantern's story has been going on, he left Justice League. I can't remember which issue, but I know he left it, and she became like the newer member at one point in this, the new 52 Justice League run. So we see,
does Jade ring a bell?
Jade. I think that's her name. I think it's Jessica, actually. Who's Jade? Help me out.
I just typed in girl Green Lantern and got Jade.
That might be it. It's either Jade or Jessica. I can't remember. I'm going to butcher this name completely. M-Y-R-I-M-A. You think you know how to spell that? Say that? It's Amazonian, so...
M-Y-R-I-N?
A. R-I-N-A. Well, that's Grail's mother. And she... She at one point left Maria. The Amazons essentially to try to defeat Darkseid, but she fell in love with them and birthed Grail. So here's this panel right here for you to see. That's Grail, and she's like meditating. So like she's saying she's doing the old gods' work. They created the Amazons to protect mankind from war, but after horrific battle left them enslaved. The Amazons abandoned man's world. The mother refused to abandon the mission the Amazons were given. That's why I exist, to become the greatest Amazon of them all. Mother named me Grail, and she has trained me to do good, even if I am not. So that's kind of her thing, because like, she's trying to kill Wonder Woman because she doesn't believe Wonder Woman is the true Amazon. That's kind of her whole thing. Because where at some point, you haven't read the new 52 Wonder Woman. She is the God of War right now.
Okay.
So she's also being the protector of her, being the queen of Themyscira, being God of War. She's also a god. Not a god, she's Zeus's daughter, instead of being made of clay. So there's a whole lot of stuff she's doing, and she's not really being the personification of Amazon, so that's really why Grail's trying to kill her. You get this more backstory of Grail. Her mother saw that Diana was not born of clay. She was born of normal circumstances, man and wife, or not man and wife, man and woman. So they see that, and they run away because nobody wants to... It was a secret kept, essentially. So they were going to kill her and her mother to see that. Well, they didn't. They escaped. They go through a lot of stuff. They train. And you see this... this is a really cool thing as well. Yet. They are attacked by men, and they ask. They go like, "Okay, yeah, you're just women. You're not going to be able to do anything." So they fight, and her mother saves or beats the men, and they say mercy. She gives it to them, but Grail does not, as an infant child. And you can see there, kind of, she does the Omega Beam eyes that she has, and kills everyone. Kind of shows her darker side, you know, because she's Darkseid's kid. So she has a nightmare. Time passes. She's been raised in solitaire, I guess you could say. And you see, I really love that shot. You just see that Darkseid. You know, what does he say? you belong to me. Like, oh no. Cool stuff happens. This happens as well too. She wakes up from this nightmare, but she's not herself. And she goes to her mother and attacks her. And her mother's like, oh no, I didn't mean to hurt you, mom, but her mom doesn't trust her. So she gets a griffin to protect her at all points because she thinks her daughter is going to kill her at any point. Well, that's the context of the story, trying to not spoil anything. But she kills the three blind witches. So in Norse mythology, they see all the predestined things. She kills them and she gets all of their eyes. So she's going to see the future, essentially.
In Greek mythology?
Greek, sorry. Yeah. Same difference. More panels going on about her dialogue and why she believes she's a killer and not her father and all this. And then you get this panel. You had in the story as well, you hadn't known what happened to Steve Trevor. Uh-huh. She has Steve Trevor.
Oh.
Because, like I said, she's trying to kill Wonder Woman. She hates everything Wonder Woman embodies. And she does this. Kisses her. Him. Ooh. And a really cool, interesting thing that happens. He becomes some, like, evil monster. So he kind of looks like he's, like, burning skin off, essentially. I don't know if you can see it well enough.
Yeah.
He goes, what have you done to me? He kind of looks like he's like kind of Apocalypse, I guess, but not really. And then some more into that story with the female Green Lantern. She's kind of trapped in her ring, fighting for her life. And Cyborg was presumed dead, and he's apparently in the ring with her.
Oh. Okay.
So it's trying as my hardest not to spoil anything for you, but like I basically did. It's like there's so much going on with it. Even I don't know a lot because, like, again, I'm going through 10 plus issues, trying to give some context to this character and all this stuff. And speaking of this, I don't know if you've heard anything about it. It's had a weird schedule lately because it's supposed to be every 2 to 3 weeks, but the last issue that came out was 48, and the previous issue before that was 47. It was almost a month before we even got that. And supposedly, Geoff Johns is going to be finished with it on issue 50, and he's apparently, I've talked about with this you before, Batman has the, not the anti-monitor, but the, what's the chair that gives you all of the knowledge, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, crap.
I know, right? It's not the, is it the Anubis or something? It's something like that, I just can't remember. But, okay, whatever that thing's called, he sees everything.
Yeah.
He knows everything. And there was a point in, like, I think it was issue 41, he goes, who is the Joker? And he goes, no, it can't be. So it was like, oh, okay. Well, in issue 50, he's apparently going to say
Mobius chair.
Yes, that's what it is.
I feel stupid.
But yeah, so you should totally pick up issue 50 whenever it comes out, just to have it because it'll be really cool. Yeah. So yeah, that's Darkseid War Special number 1.
All right, are we ready to move into the super secret special Star Wars extravaganza Poe number 1? I think it's safe to say we were both extremely excited for this series.
Oh, definitely. Did you like the art?
I liked the cover, the interiors. I liked everybody's faces.
Yeah.
It
looks more cartoonish to me.
Yeah.
That probably was what they were going for, but yeah, the faces were really, really good.
No, yeah, I like it. I like it. I just wish it was more like the cover, which is a very sort of comic book noob thing to say, but still.
Yeah.
Okay, so the writer is Charles Soule,
who's writing so much with Star Wars already.
He's doing Obi-Wan and Anakin, which has been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing Daredevil, which has been amazing. I'm not sure what else he's doing right now, but
I thought he had something else, Star Wars.
No, it was just Obi-Wan and Anakin. Oh, he did Lando.
Yeah, that's what it was.
But it's safe to say he's probably my favorite writer right now.
Yeah, he's definitely good.
So, issue one, Charles Soule writer, Phil Noto artist, who, Phil Noto actually does the art for some of the novels, and, it's pretty good. He does, like, the covers, and then, here, I'll go grab one just so you can see it real quick. This is before The Awakening, the novel.
Oh, you got that? Nice.
Yeah. Of course I got it.
Of course.
But yeah.
So did he do a lot of the non-canon now books? Or is it just more recent covers he's done?
He's just done recent stuff. He hasn't done any of the legends. To my knowledge, but okay. So anyway, Poe Dameron number one, book one, part one, Black Squadron. We get this the scroll, and talks. This is set. Actually, a lot of these characters are in Before the Awakening, so it's a good thing I grabbed this because it's basically a 3-section book. There's no real chapters to it. It's Finn, Rey, and Poe. And in Poe's section, I lost Zach. We are back. I don't know what happened. Do you?
Technical difficulties.
Yeah, it's a good song. Poe Dameron number one. A lot of these characters that are on Black Squadron are in Before the Awakening, and this story in the comic right now either happens, I can't remember if it was before or after the events of Before the Awakening. So it's very close to the movies, which this is kind of the first thing in any of the canon that's super close to the movies.
Yeah, of the new generation Star Wars stuff, where it's like,
yeah,
this is the new characters, this is the canon stuff, yeah.
They've been really afraid to touch it. One, they didn't want to do anything before the movies came out to reveal anything.
Yeah.
And it's only been, like, 4 months since it came out, so we just really haven't seen a lot. So this and Before the Awakening are kind of the first things that we're seeing of these new characters, and relatively close to what happens in The Force Awakens. Let me just read this scroll real quick to freshen my memory.
Keep losing you.
You keep losing me? Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
It pauses for like a split second. Alright, go ahead.
I'm pretty sure this happens after the events of Before the Awakening. Probably. I could be wrong, though. Okay, so since I'm going to talk a little bit later about the Punisher, you want to go ahead and take the lead on this one?
Sure.
Okay.
So the first shot is Poe Dameron saying, watch this. They're doing a trench run, kind of. They're doing a trench run kind of maneuver.
They're in like a cave, but
being the best.
It's like a cave, but there's also a trench.
He's basically talking to BB-8, going, "Well, what's our best path through this small and closed area?"
Yeah.
You know, I see some cavern opens up a bit ahead. Might give us a bit more room. Then you see in the next panel, they're going through it, and then there's some motion sensor bombs that are hitting off. So basically giving a cave-in into this. So Poe Dameron's got to move really quickly. Then there's a door shutting in front of them. They don't think they're going to fit. Yes, BBA, I know we won't fit. Come on. Divert all power to engines. We can do this, probably. So then the next shot, you don't see what's going on. It goes to a flashback. So it's Poe talking to General Organa, basically saying, you know, see, this was probably my favorite part of this. It's really going to, because in the movie we didn't really get a whole explanation of who the First Order was.
Right.
We knew that they were from the Empire, so the remnants of it, essentially. So, but they're not the Empire, totally. So then she's basically saying, you know, to Poe, you grew up in a galaxy where the Empire had already been defeated. Everything you know about their capacity for evil, you learned secondhand. And he's saying, you know, the First Order isn't, you know, anything. You know, I once in a ship that had, they aren't even close to the Empire. And Leia goes, no. No, not yet.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, snap!
Yeah.
So she's giving him this secret mission. And it's the, what's his name? Lorsan Tekka.
Yeah.
He was the first character we get to see in the movie.
Right.
Who died by Kylo Ren.
And let me just interject real quick. I am now for certain that this takes place between Before the Awakening and The Force Awakens.
Oh, okay.
And also, I wanted to interject with the learning about the first, the First Order is very interesting, because in the movie we were just kind of like, how did they let this happen? And we sort of forget any lore of like the expanded universe in Star Wars, but also forget our world, and it's very easy for that stuff to happen again, because people are like, well, they're nothing like the Empire was. And then there's people like Leia who's like, no, not yet. So I thought that really added to how the First Order came to be. And then I really love that we meet first appearance of Lorsan Tekka in comic books right here. And so, yeah, so like, super movie territory. I really like that they're getting close to the movies, but I feel like they were really scared. I don't know. I really don't know. I feel like they're just afraid of getting too close to the movies, because they don't want comic books or books to dictate what happens in the movies at all. So
yeah,
I feel like we're in forbidden territory, and I love it. So. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, next week we're getting the comic, or I think it's this week, actually. We're getting the C-3PO special.
That's finally coming out?
We finally figured out why he has the red hand instead of the gold. So we get some more history on that.
That was supposed to come out in February.
Yeah, it was. Well, they probably pushed it back for the movie. Who knows?
Yeah.
So Leia's giving Poe the mission to find Lorsan Tekka, because he has assumingly the final piece in the map to find Luke Skywalker. So that's really putting it into the movie, like we said. So he gets his full mission. She says, I've given you a squad of people. You get to pick the best your people. Well, I know who to choose, and if we go to the panning shot of Black Squadron, which is all these people we've seen in the movie, I believe. I know Snap Wexley, we've seen him.
I don't think that they might all be in there, but they're definitely all in Before the Awakening. Like, all Black Squadron is. So, that's... I thought... I was freaking out, because I'm like, it's connected to the novels!
So. Yeah, so they're talking... He's talking with his squad, going, this is a very secret mission. We gotta do this for the Rebellion. You're my squad, you're my friends, we are Black Squadron. And it's an honor. Yeah. So then it shoots back to where they believe the first stop in their mission to find... How do you say his name? I can't say it without looking at it. Lorzan Tekka.
We'll just call him Lor. Or Tekka.
Lor. So you see this shot that it's in a city. So it's more like a city, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
With a power ball that's in the center. So assumingly they're just giving the city light, I guess you could say. And Poe even goes, not exactly what I was expecting. More shots going on. It's Black Squadron's going, where are you at? You know, it's an egg. You know, that's what Poe describes it as. It looks like a gigantic egg. And tricky. And then it's they're still talking to Poe. Then static cuts out. Then we see a bunch of these town people pointing blasters at Poe, going, uh-oh, what's going on? Everyone calm down. I'm not here to hurt you. My name is Poe. This is BB-8. We're not here for trouble. So they explain they're looking for more Tekka. Got it. Gone. He left long ago. Where do you think he went? And they go, no, we're not going to tell you why. We are the Kreesh. This egg is our charge, our purpose, and our salvation. We protect and nurture it, and in return, we bathe in its radiance. So it's like, it's like their god, I guess you could say. It's not just, probably just not giving them power, but it's just something that they worship because it gives them life, I guess you could say. They go... I liked that line. What's with the, we'll not allow anyone to prevent that from happening. What's with the tone? I'm not here to hurt your egg. I like your egg. And Poe, the sarcastic guy, he's Han Solo of this generation.
Yeah.
So then they said, the Explorer spent 2 full seasons with us, learning our ways and communing with the Savior Unborn. He became our brother. In return, we shared our secrets with him. Are you willing to do the same, Poe? Sort of on a deadline here. It's just the comedy. It's good comedy of Star Wars and all that. And then we go... What's going on here? You know where I'm at? Do you want to take it from here just so we trade it off a bit?
Yeah, there's a lot of jib-jabbing between these people and Poe. They think he has a detonator and he's going to blow up their egg. Turns out it's just a tracker. And he's like, oh, I've been tracked. That's not good. He gets back in his X-Wing and gets reforms with Black Squadron. They've been out of communication. Or he doesn't reform with them, but they've been out of communication because of the caves or whatever. And
she shot their their comp.
Yeah, and then they're like, hey, First Order is here. And that's where it ends. The First Order is arriving. They kind of have this cool helicarrier looking thing.
Jetpack stormtroopers.
Yeah, jetpacks. To quote a favorite band of mine, jetpacks was yes. Yeah, and then there's a backup story, which is, I want more backup stories, and I think I might prefer backup stories that are like one-offs, like it's a complete story within itself and it doesn't continue, because that can get kind of, you can just forget so easily, and this is a one-off, where BB-8 is basically hooking 2 people up, a pilot and a technician, And so BB-8 keeps breaking things on the ship, so the technician has to fix it. And it's cute. And yeah, and then they end up...
Yeah, the pilot doesn't realize what he's doing.
Yeah.
So he's just like, get out of here.
So yeah, that was Poe Dameron number one. I'm pumped for more. All Star Wars, all the time, every time, all day. And night. Okay, we have 5 more minutes. Yeah. So let's talk about Punisher. I'm currently reading Essential Punisher Volume 3. And it's been, I have 6 issues left. I lost them again. And we're back. More technical difficulties. So, like I was saying, I have 6 issues left. The 6 issues I have left are the story arc Jigsaw Puzzle, which is the return of Jigsaw. That starts with issue 35. But the rest of the stuff's been great. There were a few issues that were I really didn't care for. The tone was just wasn't the Punisher tone that had been established for the 25 issues preceding it. It started with issue 26, which Mike Baron's the guy who wrote the original run. He wrote 26. I'm not sure if he wrote 27 though, because it started to get really campy, and Punisher just did not sound like Frank Castle at all. And nope, Baron's still writing it. I don't know what happened during this period. If he was, I don't know. Story was okay. There's actually some of the story in this was. I lost them again. Let's try to get through this last 3 minutes without another technical interruption. Some of the stories in here were really cool because they later on movies. I'm not sure if they directly are referencing it and stuff, but it was like stuff where it was like, oh my gosh, this in a movie that comes out 10 years after this issue came out, they use this exact plot point or whatever, and I just thought that was really cool. But yeah, there's it's those 26 through 29 weren't too great. And then 30, it really kicks back into what this original Punisher run was about, and it's fantastic. If you've never read any of it, it's great. It's the artwork is amazing. There's just this tacticalness to both the artwork and the writing, and it's great. One thing I do want to mention specifically is there's Punisher Annual number 2 is in here, and that's when he meets Moon Knight and they're actually friends. And I almost rolled a tear because those are 2 of my favorite characters and they're friends. So there's even a panel where Punisher calls Moon Knight friend, and I'm just like, oh, they like each other. Yeah. So yeah, that's that. I'm excited to finish it. I have a couple more of these. Let's see. I think I have 7 more essential volumes to go through. One more Punisher, 1 more Doctor Strange, 2 more X-Men, and 3 Avengers. And then I've read everything I owned, and I can finally sign up for Marvel Unlimited and start from the beginning.
Woohoo!
So, yeah. So, looks like that's it. Yeah, that's all. We better stop now before the connection loses again for some reason. I forgot the disclaimers again at the beginning. I'll promise to do it next time, and I'll also explain our end, our tail thing that we do. Disclaimer, we don't promise this podcast to be funny or entertaining, and we promise that we'll do better next time.
Yep, always. So, with that, we're going to wrap it up here, right?
Yep. wrap it up. I'm Ambrose. And that's...
We promise to do better next time, right?
Yeah, we promise to do better next time. Funny pages. Bye.